Mike, I don't care what your grandfather thinks about me, okay? All I care about is you. Now, you lost back there because you beat yourself. You let yourself get beat. I know you can do it. You're a special kid. You're my boy, do you understand? But you're also a spoiled, rich brat who's always had everything done for him. Now it's time to do for yourself, Mike, and you can do it. Because I'm telling you, the world meets nobody halfway. Do you understand what that means? If you want it, Mike, you gotta take it. Do you hear me? You gotta take it. Go in there and try. I know you can win. But even if you don't, so what? So you lose. As long as you lose like a winner, it doesn't matter. Because you did it with dignity. I'm telling you, if you don't go in there, you're gonna be sorry. You're gonna regret it your whole life. You know what I mean? Come on. I know you can do it. Will you do it for me? Come on. Let's get it.
Y'all ready for this? Baby, oil and blow. It's baby, oil and blow. It's baby, oil and blow. I don't know how to get out of that.
Just keep going.
Just keeps going, I guess.
Who needs to get out of it? I was just getting into it.
Yeah,
quite frankly.
True. Took the legs right out from underneath your legs.
I wish you would have warned me about it. I would have had an air horn. I could have let off a few times in there.
I took the legs out, Nate, from right underneath your legs.
Uh-huh.
That's why I am the real deal, Matt O. Owen Hart to your Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Oh, hoy, everybody.
You're Nate Adams.
Thinking you were going to throw me a Yokozuna crack there.
No, I was thinking about going Coco Beware, but I feel you're more...
You know, he's one of my favorites.
That late Hart Foundation, Jim Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah. When he's had, like, you know, all the broken capillaries in his face, and it's just like, oh, Dad, you're not doing so well.
And we're all like, Nate, you think you can stop doing cocaine for just a little bit?
Colorado and dry out again for another couple weeks.
If we bring you on TV, will you quit doing cocaine for just a little bit?
We'll see.
Who's to say?
Probably not.
Goatee still looks bitching, though. Yeah. It's Baby Oil and Blow, we're back.
After a week off.
I hope
it was very restful for everybody.
Didn't have to
endure pro wrestling talk.
No.
A little treat for all you people.
What'd you do?
I gotta tell you, I don't really remember.
Oh.
I was busy for most of it, that's for sure.
Well, I went...
Nothing fun. I mean, I wasn't the one on vacation. That was you, buddy.
Yeah, as you all know, I went on vacation.
I was just still here in the real world.
I went to...
Nose to the grindstone.
I went to Universal Studios with WWE legend Trevor Murdoch.
Okay.
Well, you see...
Is he in the Hall of Fame yet?
Yeah, close to it. The Rock, star of the Fast and Furious
movies. Don Morocco?
No. The Rock.
Ole Anderson.
So
there's been a lot of rocks in wrestling.
So,
it gets so easily confused.
Fine, we'll say Vin Diesel. Personally invited.
I'm Groot.
Yeah, he personally invited Trevor Murdoch and I to come check out Fast and Furious, the ride.
That's very sweet.
Which we did, and we
rode
together.
Oh, is that like a reskinning of an old ride, or is that a new ride? What's the situation with this Fast and Furious ride? Lay it on me. I'm very interested.
I'm not really... Well, it's a brand new thing. They built it over something. That Universal lot has changed dramatically.
Oh, my.
It used to be Island of Adventures was the place to go if you wanted some fun.
Sounds great.
Because Universal Studios was just...
Who doesn't like adventure?
Yeah, Universal Studios was just an old park with fucking King Kong and E.T. and Jaws.
A mishmash of whatever thrown away intellectual properties they could get their hands on because
nobody
else was doing anything with them.
No one liked those rides. I think they tore down King Kong for this.
Mm.
So it's in a warehouse thing, garage, and you walk through and you see all the cool Fast and Furious cars.
Do they give you Coronas while you're standing in line for it?
They do have Coronas at one point.
Oh, that's so
on
cool.
A picnic table where family is, I think.
Everybody's tossing back some Coronas.
There's like
drinking in the sunshine.
A lot of vague references for what I think
what life
is
all
Fast
about.
And Furious, because I've never seen any of those movies.
Uh-huh.
But just like looking at stuff, it's like, well, those
but
are
you've been on the ride.
Yeah.
You enjoy
so it's
kind of
like I've lived it.
Uh-huh.
But like, I look at those things and I'm like, well, if I was making a joke about Fast and Furious, that's the joke I would make. So it must have been in the movie.
Does Paul Walker like ascend to the heavens at the end of the
There's
ride?
There's absolutely no mention of him, or at least I don't think
That's a disaster, yeah. Right? That's sacrilegious.
You get Hollywood actor The Rock. You get Vin Diesel.
I wish it was still just Biff and Doc Brown doing the intro for it. She's like, oh, Biff stole the Fast and the Furious cars. We've got to stop him.
Well, that's...
Great Scott!
Don't forget, when you see Biff in the DeLorean, accelerate to 88 miles per hour and bump him. Accelerating now to 55 miles per hour. 65, 75, 85, 85! Still valley in the year 2015. Come in, Biff. Let's get him. Oh, Doc Brown.
That's the Back to the Future ride, which is currently the Simpsons ride.
Same, they need to just get those guys back. Yeah. They had that chemistry.
But Trevor Murdoch and I, we rode the ride together. He sat in front of me. They clearly had a sign up about no spitting when you're on the ride.
Oh, that guy was very fond of spitting. I remember his in-ring career.
Yeah, you're in a party bus.
Okay.
And they got to get you to the...
Concerned.
Well, it's souped up because it's from the Fast and Furious garage. And they got to get you to the other side of town away from the bad guy who may or may not have been in some of the movies.
Is it Jason Statham?
No. But either way, you race around, and they said no spitting, but as soon as we pulled into the ride, Trevor's like, he just spit a little bit of that chaw right out.
Too used to spit.
Right out, just...
His muscle memory.
You don't care.
Point.
He used to work there. TNA, baby.
Yeah, so any other celebrity sightings, or was it just Trevor Murdoch?
Pretty much just me and Trevor Murdoch.
You didn't go...
We were the only celebrities.
You didn't see Jimmy Hart at the Hulk Hogan
I
beach
did
shop
not,
or
I
anything?
Did go to the Hogan beach shop. Plenty of great stuff there.
I'm sure.
Tucked
can
away
you get some like
that tiny little store?
Some like shark tooth necklaces there. Do they have anything like that going on?
No, I wish. You got to go to the aquarium.
Hogan
for
related.
It's mostly just
gear.
Hogan related gear.
I really think he's missing out. He could be breaking in some extra cash. We'd go after that shark tooth necklace market too.
It was nice to see that Bushwhacker Luke had that gym right next to
it. Do a couple sets in there.
Well, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, hanging and banging. Johnny Ace was there with the New Zealand flag, and we did some sets. It was nice.
Did you send me an accidental text on purpose?
Oh.
You did. That was a bullshit text.
I don't remember that.
Do you like my water?
No, I really don't. I don't remember doing
Do
that.
Do you like my water?
I can't stand your water. I can't. I don't even know what to say. It's like I took a straw and put it in the frog's ass. It makes me sick. I want to barf every time I get near it. I can't stand the smell. I can't stand the color. And I cannot stand the taste. I can't take it anymore.
Goddamn, Matt.
He's like,
your thighs look great.
You're really putting up some iron today, Matt.
Can't believe how much you're getting up.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice moment. But guess what?
What?
Vacation's over and it's time to talk wrestling.
Back to it.
Let's
was I supposed to watch wrestling?
Let's talk about the modern world of wrestling.
I was used to not thinking about wrestling for that week, and I think I've sort of just like, you know, eased into that groove now. I don't think I'm going to be able to think about wrestling again.
It's time for everybody's new favorite segment, Nate Adams' weekly look at modern wrestling.
Pretty sure they didn't even have modern wrestling this week.
Well, they had a former modern wrestler show that he's still not very good at fighting.
Oh,
CM Punk lost his second straight fight.
Modern day MMA news.
And then did you see Michael Graves' comments afterwards?
I don't even know who Michael Graves is.
Corey Graves. No, Michael Graves sang for the Misfits.
I didn't know.
Corey Graves,
a second-rate CM Punk replacement in his wrestling career,
yeah,
but has gone on to be quite the successful snarky announcer. I'm familiar with this man.
Yeah. He's pretty good. He had some tweets for Punk after the fight.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
Let's just do this.
I saw a lot of Twitter chatter.
Yeah.
But, not from any wrestlers, I don't think. I wasn't on any wrestling feeds.
After the big fight, ready?
Uh-huh.
Thought number one, maybe abandoning everybody who stood by your side even when we weren't supposed to, only to have you turn your back on us, wasn't the right move after all. No anger, only sadness.
Whoa.
Thought number two.
As this is more personal than I was expecting.
Oh, it's pretty good. Aw, seems the fans are disappointed. Maybe you guys should know that that dude held my first son before I did because I was on tour and I trusted him. I had dinner with him the week after he quit.
Sour grapes, buddy. So, sounds like somebody's not having his calls returned to CM Punk.
Hold on, it gets better. First rule of punk rock is loyalty, and this guy betrayed it all. I still love you, friend, and I'm sorry
doesn't
you got
sound
lost.
Like it. This is just some really passive-aggressive shit. I'm going to say CM Punk, he's got better things to do. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's going to try to go walk on with the Minnesota Vikings or something next. I don't know. Corey Graves, new phone, who dis? Don't even remember you, man. Did I hold your baby? It was probably just because I was banging your wife at the time. Sorry. What color eyes does that kid have, Corey?
You think he can keep track of all
Corey, what color eyes does that kid have? Have you double-checked?
CM Punk color eyes. It's just those Chicago
stars. Look
at
one of those DNA trees like we'd look at in eighth grade science class. Is your kid supposed to have that hair color?
He throws a little clarification here, though.
Okay.
Don't worry, hey, at Vince McMahon. This has nothing to do with you. You either, at Triple H. This isn't corporate. This is real life. Calm down, inner nerds.
You know what? I gotta tell you right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a very necessary tweet because I don't think Vince McMahon or Triple H
follow
pay any attention to Corey's Twitter feed or care about what his personal relationship with CM Punk is maybe even remember who CM Punk was.
But then he starts getting into it with the fans.
Oh, this is getting great.
Dan Sweat, I don't know.
Dan Severn.
He says, so where's your
maybe
loyalty?
Keith Sweat.
Where's your loyalty? Not to your friend who was clearly as unhappy as he ever was, but with your billion-dollar corporation bosses.
What?
Yeah, super punk rock, bro. Tell me all about punk rock. Mr. Graves responds with...
Wait, was that your brother Teddy Bizkliz?
Could have been.
Is that him talking to
him? Could have been. It could have been one of his burner accounts. So Corey Graves fires back with, my loyalty? Oh, would you like the before or after? I've got both. I mean, one can only be shit on by their best friend for so long before they smarten up, no? But it's cool. I'm sure you love Kenny Omega. And you know more about this business and friendship than I do.
How'd Kenny Omega get drug into this? A. B. I thought Colt Cabana was CM Punk's best friend.
If you want
now Corey Graves is saying that he was CM Punk's best friend?
The new thing is if you want to make fun of internet wrestling nerds, you have to mention how they like Kenny Omega.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
They do all seem to like Kenny Omega.
So it goes on for a little bit, and then he just finishes it all out.
Kenny Omega won the IWGP Championship. There's some modern wrestling news.
Did he?
Probably a lot more relevant than these Corey Graves tweets you keep reading me.
Which
right
title
here.
Did he win?
You know, the IWGP belt.
Wow.
The big one.
Wow, that's big news.
The most prestigious belt in pro wrestling, according to Hulk Hogan.
Five times World Wrestling Federation champion. This belt... it's just a toy. It's like a trinket on a Christmas tree, like an ornament. The belt that I want is the one that the great Muta has, the IWGP belt. Because when Hulk Hogan wins the IWGP championship, which he should have right now, it will prove that New Japan Pro Wrestling and Hulk Hogan is the greatest partners in the world, because I want all the great wrestlers to come to me, and I want them to come to Japan where I can wrestle and not bullshit. I want to wrestle and prove that I'm the best.
This is the Dominion?
Yeah, that's right.
Who did he fight?
Okada,
champion. Yeah, he was still champ.
He's been champ for 2 years, man. Biggest news of the week, and here you are, a high school girl, embroiled in these back-and-forth, just bitchy tweets.
Well, here comes the best part. He started these tweets at 10:09 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Last one rolls in at 2:40 a.m.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, at CM Punk, call me tomorrow. I still love you.
I'm gonna throw this out here. This is one of my patented predictions.
Yeah.
He doesn't call.
Oh, I thought you were predicting the two of them fight it all in.
No, I got a feeling he doesn't call.
Huh. What happened with Jericho?
He won the IC belt from Naito.
Oh, wow.
We got dual Winnipeg boys holding those big New Japan straps.
Oh, wow.
It was a big day for white people in Japan. You see any Asian people down there in Florida? I bet there's just tons of Asian
people kidding me?
Those, amusement parks
everywhere, man.
Just getting drunk at Epcot Center
everywhere.
And their faces turn bright red.
Yeah,
they
I
get
did
that Asian allergic reaction to the booze, but they're having such a good time. They can't stop.
I tried to get the girl that worked in Japan,
mm-hmm.
who served us sake, to tell me, like, you know, like, hey, like, in Japan, like, what's a, what word do you guys use for, like, a dude that likes to party, you know?
Sure.
And she's like, party hard?
Or
party guy? And I was like, yeah, party guy.
Was this girl just from, like, Orlando? Were you talking to her like she was from Japan? And just a girl from Orlando?
No, I was making them, like, read shit that was on shirts, you know? I do a quality control check when
I'm a white guy on vacation. Yeah. Jump through hoops for me.
Prove to me you are foreign.
Now, I know that you had a rib injury before you went there, and you do currently have your ribs taped up Diamond Dallas Page 1996 style.
Yeah.
So my question is, were those taped up ribs hidden under a shirt while you were there, or were you just wearing an open vest so everybody could see that you had taped up ribs everywhere you were going?
Opportunity missed. I'm going back to Epcot right now.
Let's get a couple of jean vests and make a road trip.
I did
calling off work this week.
Yeah, I did too much DDP trying to fight through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just today, I finally hit the point where the medics were like, DDP, you're not cleared to wrestle, bro. And I was like, tape it. I'm going in.
That's when Bobby Heenan starts talking about, oh, you don't want to put that tape on it. That's just giving your opponent a bullseye. Now they know where to attack.
Right. I didn't want to get sucker punched in Epcot. You know,
now
it gets cutthroat.
Now we know where to attack.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, I'm glad you had a nice vacation.
Yeah.
But back to the grindstone here. We got a rundown.
Yeah, we got bills to pay.
Speaking of Bobby the Brain Heenan, we're back in primetime wrestling.
Primetime!
February 22nd, 1988. This week, the rundown's brought to us by, I'm going to say, the last couple movies I saw in theaters. They were both pretty good. They're both worth checking out. Got a little upgrade.
I love that
nice
movie.
Nice little sci-fi actioner. It's got a little bit of like RoboCop body horror, a little bit of like The Matrix Kung Fu, and just a whole lot of blood with a sort of John Wick revenge story. Fun stuff.
You're burying the lead.
What's the lead?
It's got fucking Bukowski from The Hills Have Eyes
remakes.
Very
true. Also directed by Leigh Whannell, our friend of Your Next fame and whatnot.
Oh.
Who's involved in that stuff.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't realize that.
Secondarily, Hereditary. It's a really, really intense...
No spoilers, man.
...traumatic horror movie.
Oh, I forgot that came out.
One of the most psychologically disturbing things you'll see this side of the 1970s, I'm not going to give away anything else that happens to it. It's a slow burn, but when it goes crazy, it really goes crazy.
My dick's hard just thinking about it.
I recommend both those films, and they've both paid me to recommend them, so you can't trust if those recommendations are earnest or not. That's the name of the game. That's business, buddy.
Go see Upgrade and Hereditary.
First match in this rundown, we got Bad News Brown making his WWF debut in there against Outback Jack.
We saw him wrestle 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but they called this his debut.
Oh, just like with Rick Rude.
Apparently, you've got a lot of snarky attitude about this episode of Primetime Wrestling. Was it not good enough for you? Have you had your feet rubbed on vacation all week? Coming back here an entitled princess?
I wish.
Roundhouse kick to the head. Bad News Brown wins. Second match.
You kick him in the head.
Danny Davis, that dastardly ex-referee in there against Brady Boone, everybody's favorite cousin.
Yeah.
Davis wins with a top rope, just butt drop. Just like he's kind of a big Yokozuna top guy, but he's not. He just butt dropped him and then Boone pretended like that hurt.
Probably because he wasn't good at wrestling and didn't really have anything else he could do.
You know who is good at wrestling?
Who's that?
Well, these next guys in this tag team
match.
We got the Killer Bees. B. Brian Blair and Jumpin' Jim Bronzell.
They're not good at wrestling.
New York's own Barry Horowitz and Steve Lombardi.
Oh, yeah.
Couple of journeymen.
They're good.
B's win with a nice double team atomic drop into a second rope clothesline. Clothesline. High flying action.
I was upset to hear that they billed Horowitz as being from St. Pete, Florida.
No, he's definitely
from New York.
Maybe he's from Jersey City. It's possible he's from Jersey City. Coming up
close enough.
We got the King, Harley Race, former NWA champion, wrestling legend, in their late career degrading himself by showing ass for the Ultimate Warrior. Who, you know, people talk, but he's the greatest.
Absolutely.
This match doesn't really go anywhere because Herc the Jerk comes in and attacks Warrior with a chain and starts strangling him with a chain, and then the Ultimate Warrior no-sells strangulation and fights everybody off, and then runs around stomping and snorting like an idiot.
But hey, none of this matters because the biggest match of the week is up next.
You said it, buddy. Our favorite, Iron Mike Sharp. Canada's greatest athlete. He's in there with the young ingenue, Jake Roberts Jr., a.k.a. Sam Houston. Houston wins with a pretty wicked running bulldog. And afterwards,
yeah, it looked all right.
gets jumped by Danny Davis. Holy shit, this is turning into the Danny Davis show.
Oh, man, that's what everybody wants.
Or is it? Because turns out our final match, our big finale, it's Special Delivery Jones and, wait a second, Brady Boone?
That's
wrestling
my
two
guy.
Matches in one show?
Well, when you're from Oregon,
guess
you can
do
it all.
Guess it's the Brady Boone show, as it turns out.
Yep.
They're in there against the Bolsheviks.
But the big, big main event of the evening was One Man Gang versus, or what was it supposed to be?
I don't know.
I don't remember. They kept hyping it, and then it didn't happen.
Okay, at this point, I got distracted and forgot to write down who won that match. I think it was the Bolsheviks.
Yep. I had some, one of the Bolsheviks.
Some incoming text messages. It was urgent business. Bought some restaurant equipment.
Oh, God.
Quite frankly, I was only watching with one eye.
Oh, God.
Only with one eye.
One of the Bolsheviks' knees, Brady Boone in the back.
Need him right in the back.
And then the other one hit him with like a Polish hammer.
Ah, Brady Boone, one of these days you'll get a win, buddy. I believe in you. That's the end of the rundown.
Yep.
Because whatever you were talking about, One Man Gang, I must have missed that entirely. As did Primetime Wrestling. They didn't show us a match.
They kept hyping somebody was going to have a match, and then there were Gorilla Monsoon's like, it's just come in that due to popular demand, we're going to re-show the Andre and Hogan match.
Because I definitely started skipping ahead once I saw that, and I was like, oh, they're showing us all of the main event from the main event again?
Which
Fuck
was nice.
This.
Which was nice, because then we only had to watch like an hour.
Desperately pressed for time here. Very busy men. Anytime we get to skip ahead is good news.
Yeah.
Let's skip ahead to that five count.
Okay.
Dig a little deeper into this.
All right, man. I could do that right now.
Oh, perfect.
I've got a number one.
Get us started.
We complain about something every week.
I'm not so sure. I've never known us to be complainers.
Okay, we have, we nitpick a little bit.
Every
other week.
Maybe I nitpick a little.
Every other week about what the boys down south do.
Mm-hmm.
But here's
Hey, man. It's not a Kenny Omega match, so.
No, yeah. Here's
I got standards.
Here's a case of that same formula working out a little bit, and that's the wrestling / immediate interview.
Okay.
And that's what we got in the debuting of Bad News Brown.
Yeah, I kind of wrote down in my notes.
Outback Jack.
The match was pretty boring. Interview afterwards, more entertaining.
Yeah.
Should have just done the interview.
Right. Or just made that match a little squashier.
Yeah, there you go.
And get to that interview. Mr. Brown, he's not bad on the mic.
No.
He was entertaining.
Plus, he called everybody in the audience beer-bellied sharecroppers.
There you go. I wrote that down,
really
line down
liked.
As well. It was going well, and then I noticed he turned a little Luger when he threw in I Wanna Say.
Mm-hmm.
After like making 3 points already.
Mm-hmm. We done it.
Yeah, you already
we
made those
there.
Points, bro. You
Make
put them
one
out
point,
there.
Maybe a secondary point. Once you start making third points in a wrestling
yeah.
promo, oh, you're off the rails, buddy boy.
He also did...
No reason to be talking about that much stuff.
He also did a thing I don't care for too much. And that's delivering key lines, like too many at once.
Mm-hmm. Stringing together potential catchphrases
yeah.
and they all get blurred together.
Don't blow your load all at once, man. You drag those
yeah,
out.
Just lean into calling people turkeys for a minute. That's good
yeah.
enough to last.
Get that on a shirt. And then, you know, you move on to talk about how all you know is rats and roaches and
mm-hmm.
people are going to be annihilated, exterminated, degraded, and...
Masturbated. That's not what he said?
Something along those lines.
Oh.
But,
maybe I misheard.
Yeah, I don't know. All in all, wasn't bad.
Wasn't bad.
It was the same thing WCW does, but
liked his intensity,
these guys don't do it
liked
every
his
week.
Believability. I think his believability hurts him a little bit in the ring, though. I think he's like going in there a little bit stiff, and like it just doesn't look as good as like
no.
some of these more worked, flourished. He's really just hitting people hard, and it doesn't look as intense as it could be if he was just being a little more theatric and not really laying it in.
If he was just doing all that reckless New Jack shit.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
He looks like a legit tough guy who could win a fight, but he's not really entertaining me.
No, no. Again, I think he was giving too much to old Outback Jack.
My number one is how much time they spent analyzing these tournament brackets.
Oh, yeah.
Which I should love, because my number one complaint about pretty much every tournament they've ever done after this tournament, I guess, is that A, they never have the brackets done early enough, and B, they don't spend any time doing that like little sports analyst shit that nerds
potential
love.
Potential matchups.
And people get it. Yeah, look
Dream
at the potential matchups.
Matchups.
Maybe this could happen. Maybe if this guy wins here, ooh, then he's going to have to fight this guy or this guy in the next round. Which one would he prefer? Which one would he match up with better? we used to have this dream match at WrestleMania 3. If this and this happens in the first round, we could get that again. I should love this shit because it's what they never do, and it's what you need to do to sell a tournament. They always whine the tournaments don't draw. It's because you don't promote them right, Vince. That's the problem. Except the only problem is this isn't actually the tournament brackets as they end up using them in WrestleMania 4, so they're just wasting my time analyzing a lot of shit that's not going to happen because they changed the fucking brackets last minute anyways. So, you know, proper previous planning prevents piss poor performance, WWF.
Wow.
You almost had this shit worked out, but the one time you try to plan ahead, you change things last minute so all your planning didn't work. Maybe this is why you never plan ahead anymore.
Wow.
Make a plan and stick to it, motherfuckers.
Take that, Mr. McMahon.
Everybody else in wrestling can do tournaments and make them a big thing and make them draw. New Japan shit every year. Their biggest thing's a fucking tournament. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, their biggest shit every year is a fucking tournament. Like, even like Chikara, they do that trios tournament. It's the biggest fucking thing
they
do every year.
That's a huge deal. Everybody loves that
Everybody else can do tournaments, and it's their biggest drawing thing. Vince McMahon's just like, bah, tournaments don't draw. It's because you don't give us the brackets early enough.
No.
You don't analyze them.
No.
And the one time you did that, you changed the brackets after we already sat through a fucking hour of your analyzing.
You write your show an hour before it hits TV.
Mm-hmm. Nerds like to analyze shit. They like stats. That's why they like all these Royal Rumble stats. Like, who's been in the longest?
Yeah.
Well, how many people have won from coming in at this number? You see all those pasty virgins watching baseball every time you go to a baseball game?
Yeah.
You just get a little more stats heavy, and you could be drawing some of those guys into wrestling.
Listen to the sports talk radio. That's all they talk is analytics.
Totally. Remember that weird girl who used to go to Buffalo Wild Wings in the early 2000s, and she always had her little stat notebook she'd come to our table and talk to us about?
I wish we wouldn't have teased so much, and we would have just taken the time to know her. And like,
what else
find
was going
out
on in her life? I wonder.
Just dig into those stats. Like,
probably
we got
nothing.
We caught a glimpse into those, you know, spiral
I'm
ledgers.
Say, yeah, when I looked in there, I saw those sort of swirling number like visuals from A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
When he's doing like fancy math, and you get all those numbers twirling around in the air. When I looked in that girl's WWE pay per view stat notebook, that's what I saw. It was over my head, above my pay grade.
She sat with us. Why? Because she really wanted to fuck Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was a secondary thing about her.
Yeah.
She loved stats, and she had a total white on for Randy Orton.
And this is when everybody hated Orton except us.
We loved him because he was so cocky, and he did that pose.
Yeah. Summer night.
One of us should have taken her back by the BW3 dumpster.
Treat her like the ring rat she
was. She wasn't that attractive. She wasn't awful.
Yeah.
She wasn't awful.
You
what did
ain't
we have
a
going on?
Beauty, but hey, you're all right.
That's all right with
me. Oh, and that's all right.
These days.
With me.
Younger me. He wasn't as gross.
My next point isn't going to come until Warrior and Race. You got anything before that?
That's what I
want to
talk about, too.
All right. Well, I will just want to make sure there's nothing beforehand, but I will point out
real
quick.
I got to tell you, man, I couldn't find much to talk about in this episode.
I hear you.
Let's just move it right along.
I'm introducing a new little sub-segment this week.
Perfect.
It takes place in the Killer Bees versus Horowitz and Lombardi.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for it?
Sure.
Ring the bell, sucker. The Big O's tapping out.
Wow.
That's when I started falling asleep. That was the match.
It's, yeah,
that was my
week,
tap out.
I gotta say, like, I don't really sleep ever. But, you know, my attention wanders. I'm living in this ADD generation of, you know, notifications on the phone and whatnot and too many screens all in one place. And,
yeah,
there wasn't a single match on this card. No, there was one single match on this card that I watched all the way through. The rest of them, at some point, I found myself not paying attention.
I see.
Like, at some point, I was like, whoops, I'm not paying attention right now.
You see, for me, it's we're coming off those weekends, and you know I likes to go hards on the weekend.
You got to.
And then usually I go
only
to bed.
Only make one trip around this earth.
Yeah, I usually go to bed way too late Sunday night and then spend the whole night worrying about having to wake up for work the next day, so I sleep awfully. And then I come home from work, and then I try to watch wrestling, and it's too long, and I'll be on the couch, and I'm like, oh, just close my eyes.
Once again, this is how a lot of suicide notes start.
I'm just going to close my eyes.
You want me to just start writing this all down, and then you can just sign it at the end?
I'm going to close my eyes for a second.
I'll just write, I'm sorry, and then you could sign it.
Dictated, but not read.
Uh-huh.
Love, Matt. Yeah, I like that. So, yeah, I'm going to do this every week.
So you were falling asleep, you were tapping out during that match, but yeah. You got something to say about Harley Race and the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, duh, fucking Warrior showed up and this. I woke back up, man. I loved...
It doesn't hurt that that's your alarm every morning.
Yeah. I loved
Santa came.
Every second of this match.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
Except Bruno Sammartino.
Oh, yeah, I definitely was not zoned in enough to be paying attention to what De Bruyne was saying on
at
commentary.
At one point, he said, oh, no, but he said it just like Tommy Wiseau.
Okay.
Oh, no. And it's like, is this guy, like, just hitting the head too much, or is he some kind of weird
foreign?
They've
both been hitting the head. They're both vaguely foreign. Who's to say?
I don't follow.
I gotta say, though, favorite spot in this match, Harley Race going ass over tea kettle over the top rope from a chop.
Yeah.
And then on the way down, banging his head on the his forehead on the mat after flipping backwards over the top rope, bangs his forehead on the mat, and then just stumbles around all spaghetti-legged just because the Warrior chopped his chest.
And every week he does that, Jesse the Body Ventura falls for it.
I gotta say.
Every time.
Late career. Overweight, bumping his ass off, WWF Harley Race. I think I might like him more than a
70s
top of his
tough
game,
guy,
like controlling most of the offense, just being a real badass Harley Race. There is literally no reason for him to be working so hard at this point in his career.
Yeah.
He's a legend. He was at the top. He's got to at least have some money socked away, even if he was dumb about it. Sure, you need a payday, but like, Vince is putting you as a mid-carder. He's not treating you like the legend you are. Go out there and just fucking coast on your name, man. Instead, this guy's bumping his ass off for fucking green as grass scrubs like the Warrior every week. God bless him.
Look cool.
God love his sideburns.
I like when Warrior ran right into that pile driver to start a match. Mm. Mostly because you don't see people run into pile drivers, but Warrior figured out a way.
That was like some modern wrestling type shit. I could see somebody just like doing a straight run into like some sort of flip over a Canadian destroyer. Everybody's dancing type shit. Warrior was just ahead of his time.
Yep.
If he was in there with Kenny Omega, that shit would have been fluid, man. Warrior and Omega, dream match, brother. This is a 7-star match, 8-star match.
Internet would have broke that night, my friend.
Would have loved it.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I like the run in with Herc. Because it was like, hey, we didn't forget about that angle.
See, the match, right when I was starting to like it, Herc ran in. That's why I'm not giving this one my one match that I enjoyed all the way through. Because it didn't go long enough. I was enjoying the Warrior and Race going at it. And then it got interrupted. But, you know, at least we got an angle here.
I think it was the only logical conclusion. Because as much as they're making Harley Race show ass, I just don't think they had a heart enough to be like, hey, Race, you got to go lose to this guy.
See that moron over there on the other side of the locker room? You're putting him over tonight.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, maybe not. Just have her go out there with the chain.
Yeah, so it worked. I liked it. Let's go to our, what number are we on? That was our shared
going
number two.
Going into our
two.
Threes, yeah. We'll probably be shared.
Yeah, let's go to our shared number three and talk about our best friend in the world, Iron Mike Sharp. God rest his soul. R.I.P.D.
Yeah, this is my match of the night right here.
Oh, fuck
Sharp versus Houston.
Fuck
good
yeah.
Good stuff.
You know why it's the match of the night?
Iron Mike Sharp. I liked that he was on top for most of the match. He was controlling all the offense.
Sam Houston looked dog shit terrible,
mm-hmm.
and Mike Sharp made him a fucking superstar.
Not that usual Mike Sharp match you get where he's the one begging off and he's the one running away. He was wrestling from on top. He was smothering Houston with his size. He was overpowering him. It was different, but still super solid, because Iron Mike Sharp can do it all, man.
He fucking kills it. Now, it helps that they're in the Boston Gardens for this match, and for whatever reason, if you go back to, like, whatever year we watched before
1985.
Yeah.
Back in the way, way back.
Mike Sharp kills it anytime they're in Boston. Boston and New York.
Mm.
Hate
those
his fucking guts.
East Coast scumbags. They don't want to see somebody from Canada.
Well, they hate true talent, you know?
That's very true,
those sons
too.
Of bitches.
It's a jealousy thing, quite frankly.
Yeah, why you think Gretzky went to the Rangers just for a minute?
Did he?
I think so.
Hmm.
Didn't he go to the Rangers after he was on the Kings?
Before my time, I don't know.
Yeah, either
way. I watched my first hockey game in like 2000.
Yeah, but Mr. Sharp, all this match proved was you could have put a title on that guy.
Oh, you should have put a title on that guy.
The shit Honky Tonk Man's doing, you could have done that with Mike
Champ
Sharp.
Iron Mike Sharp would have killed it.
I really like,
though, the little flashes of comebacks that Houston keeps almost getting. He keeps using his agility to get away from him and, like, get one move in, and the crowd just, like, almost gonna pop, like, ooh, he's coming back, but then Sharp would cut him off again, and he cut him off. He kept milking it, kept building that heat, sustained that stuff, so when he finally did string two or three moves together instead of just the one, he got the pin. That's all it took, was just a little bit of freedom, a little bit of room to move, stop being smothered by that big old Canadian bull, and couple moves, and then that running bulldog, which he really got some air on that thing. Talk about him looking a little lost out there and being led through the match.
Yeah.
Ooh, still like that running bulldog. Yeah, I don't know that I've seen anybody with a better bulldog than that.
He looked even smaller than he did in 86.
Yeah, I think that's just because we saw him down south before. He was against smaller guys, and now he's against up north where Mike Sharp's Behemoths. A huge fucking guy, but he's not even one of the big guys on the roster. So
true.
By comparison, Houston's just looking like a scrawny little turd.
Yeah.
Real string bean.
Ooh, boy. I love how much Lord...
teaser. I'm going to be talking about those jeans later on.
Ooh. I love the way Lord Alfred Hayes puts over Mike Sharp's dumb bits, like walking out.
He's leaving the arena! He's leaving the... Oh, no, he's coming back.
Oh, thank God. It's not a thing I've seen him do every single match he's wrestled for the last 5 years in a row, like, on this program.
Do you think it was one of those bits where it's like Alfred Hayes hated him? Or he was like, this guy's hilarious, I love doing this shtick.
Hayes is just a good sport. He's down to play along, get this guy over. Whoa, I liked one thing I got to give Houston some credit for. That weird little boot scooting he was doing.
How about it?
Boot scooting before the match started.
Sharp hated it.
Tiny little tap taps with his boots, kind of. Just like weird. It was almost a taunt. It was more just like something like your weird little dog would do or something.
Yeah.
And Sharp didn't really know how to like respond to it, and neither did I. And I was like, you know, you got something here, Sam Houston. Let's work on this.
Or like when like the nerd kid in school is like really into something that people just don't know about, and they try to like
space camp,
use it to
intimidate
you. I had
one of them that was really into space camp, and he always tried to talk to everybody about space camp.
Not
what we're talking about.
Sometimes, like, there'd be like a nerd or like fat kid, and he'd like be into something like sci-fi weird that was even like too sci-fi for you.
We didn't let the fat kids talk in my school,
and they'd like try to come at you with like some kind of like weird thing that some move somebody does, and you're just like, what are you doing?
Like threatening you with like Klingon martial arts?
Yeah, that kind of a thing.
This is not an experience I've ever had in my life. This sounds terrifying.
I'm just saying, like. I've
like
seen it before.
Some Asperger bull like
at you, and it's just like,
he's got crazy eyes, and he's just red in the face.
Yeah, we were teasing you. This isn't fun anymore. Like, what's your deal?
Trying to hit you with a kung fu move
you
learned?
What's your deal, man? I used to tease a lot of people. That's how I got John Grady beat up by that fat French kid, Franck, at the park.
That's a story that doesn't make John Grady look well, considering he's a 12-foot tall man.
Franck was a little bigger that day.
French don't have the best reputation as it is for being the toughest guys.
Cheese eating surrender monkeys.
And then you got a 12-foot John Grady. He's getting slapped down by Franck.
Yeah. Well, he got put in a headlock.
Well, either way.
Ate some punches.
Either way. On Franck.
The end of that match. All right, what happened was I kept asking Franck, because he was from France.
I hope John Grady's kids don't listen to this. He's going to be shamed.
Foreign exchange week. And so we'd always go to the park.
Like a coward in front of your kid.
Like we knew, like, oh, the foreign exchange kids are here this week. We got to go to the park.
Go
we
throw
gotta go
baguettes
see
at them.
Yeah. So we went there and we're like teasing the three kids. And we're like, hanging.
You guys don't talk the same way we talk.
Right. Yeah. No, it was literally that.
What's
like,
your problem, you stupid idiots?
Hanging off the twirly slide, looking all badass. And just like, hey, bet you can't say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and apparently it made the fat one, Franck, break.
I gotta tell you, people in France can't even say McDonald's. There's no way they can say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Well,
that had been very frustrating for Franck.
It made his brain break, and he grabbed John Grady, who was closest to him at the time, threw him in a headlock, and started lighting him up. And the Goob and I just laughed.
Some of those little like Ric Flair like rabbit punches to the forehead. Yeah. Is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
Trying to open up John Grady's
a previous cut
blade wound from the previous night.
Yeah, from the previous foreign exchange scrap.
So many playground hijinks.
Summer nights.
Gross.
Oh, the end of this match, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When Houston hits that bulldog.
Yeah.
Lord,
I remember it well.
Lord Alfred Hayes emphatically yells, "Bulldog!" To which Craig DeGeorge says, "Bullseye indeed."
It's just like a verbal equivalent of two guys trying to high five and like not connecting.
Hey, I got a number four.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I didn't even hear what you said. I jumped the gun. I'm just trying to make this move along as fast and painless as possible.
It's our special report.
Yes, that's mine too.
About the WrestleMania
promos.
Yeah, great promos.
I'm loving these promos.
You get two straight promos for the 6-man match. It's going to be
for the price of one.
Islanders and fucking Heenan.
Bobby Heenan lacing up the boots for the first time in over a year. Yep,
versus the Bulldogs and Coco Beware for no reason. And
for no reasons, because he loves animals, and Bobby Heenan's been abusing that dog.
That's true, and he always says bad shit about Frankie, so that's fair. The thing I love the most is these guys both cut the exact same. We just got kicked out of the bar, and we're standing outside waiting on the cab.
You better believe it.
Promo.
This was late night.
Fucking great, dude.
They were filming promos. These ones all got filmed at the end of the night. These guys were
absolutely
like, fuck it. Ours ain't coming up for an hour. Going down to the bar to get a pint.
I said roll a fucking tit.
Going to the pub to get a pint, eh?
I said roll a fucking tit.
We'll be back in 3 hours.
The water's boiling.
Hello!
But, you know, never mind the accents, because the Islanders and Heenan.
Just squinty-eyed, red-cheeked.
Heenan and Islanders cut the same exact promo where, like, the Islanders are just, like, making dog noises and, like, doing weird stuff.
Heenan threatening to kill and stuff someone's dog while the Islanders just crack up is my heart.
Yeah.
That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Haku was loving it.
And then,
nothing funnier to him than killing somebody's
Haku
dog.
Haku thought that
and
was great. He thought it was amazing. Then he was like trying to do like the.
Yeah.
But he couldn't make either of those noises.
He was like another Tommy Wiseau moment.
Yeah, he was
kind of, where it was just like, what are those noises coming out of that man's mouth? Like that Arrested Development bit where nobody could make the chicken sound properly. Like,
You're even scared to ask a girl out on a date.
Why does everybody think that I'm scared of girls?
Because you're a chicken.
Chicken. Cuckoo-ka-cha! Cuckoo-ka-cha!
What are you doing?
Michael and women? A cuckoo-ka-cha! That's what I was just telling him.
Cuckoo-ka-cha!
Look, I haven't found the right girl. When I do, I will ask her out. Has anyone in this family ever even seen a chicken?
Wait, I got the perfect name!
That's enough.
That's basically what was going on here. It was weird stuff. And then I liked that Dynamite and Davey Boy promo, because Davey Boy did his usual like fat tongue to tripling over stuff, and he's like giving it to Dynamite, and I'm like, oh no, here we go, Dynamite's gonna try to talk. But then Coco just gospel singed so loud that you couldn't even hear a word Dynamite said.
And Davey Boy can't keep a straight face.
I was like, this is perfect. They should just always have Coco.
He's dying.
Hey, Coco's gospel singing so hard you can't hear anything Dynamite's saying when he's cutting his promo. A, he's just jerking his shoulders up and down so quick. That bird on his shoulder, Frankie's just getting fucking whiplash.
Just terrifying.
He's trying to make it look like his wings are flapping, but he's just
jerking
that
abusing
whole
that bird.
Fucking bird's, what is it, a macaw? I don't know.
Yeah,
either way,
it's a macaw.
It's poor little bird body's just flopping and flying back and forth. Its neck is just like on a spring.
And Davey Boy's never
seen
anything funnier in his life.
No,
like
it's
he's
more animal
dying.
Abuse. This is just like a good 5-minute interlude of drunken beef. Up idiots cracking up at fucking animal abuse.
You gotta watch it, because like Davey Boy Smith's eyes are barely open and he's just full on like teeth together, like try not to laugh right now.
Oh, man,
he's Jimmy
I'm
Fallon
so
in it.
Chiefed up.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, man.
And then after that we talked to Honky Tonk Man for a minute, and by comparison, whoo, what a professional.
Yeah,
he's
a good guy.
Good delivery, great inflection.
Yeah.
He's a smooth talker.
Barber ain't touching his hair.
Really, yeah. Just shows you what a professional promo looked like after a couple of total shit shows.
Yeah, it shows
I can appreciate both approaches for what they are.
Shows you what a promo looked like that was filmed hours before.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Honky Tonk Man, maybe the perfect just chicken shit hateable heel. Yeah. Coco Beware, maybe just the perfect just like nothing to hate about him, good guy babyface. Those guys should have had a big old feud. I think it would have done both of them wonders.
Absolutely. And then a little bow on top of the package.
Mm-hmm.
You get a couple words from Bob Uecker.
Oh, that is right. Yeah. We did cut to Bob Uecker sitting in some sort of like...
somebody's just, living room?
Yeah, some just way, way 1980s fucking living room. It looked a little like... it looked like more of like a 1991 living room than like a 1988 living room. So I think he's like somewhere very fashion forward.
Yeah.
Bob Uecker's got some Hollywood friends, some apparently. Yeah. He's over there on the cutting edge.
He's friends with Lynn Belvedere, by
the
way.
Yeah, the whole like aesthetic of this thing he was sitting in reminds me of just like early 90s Sizzler commercials.
Oh, hell yeah.
Full on. Just like I felt like I was watching a Sizzler commercial.
Tell you what. Take me to a Sizzler right now, I'd feel perfectly at home.
I don't care if that little side salad bar that's 2 feet high is only for kids. I'm going over there and clearing that thing out of dinosaur chicken nuggets.
Boom. Do it, brother. I got a final thumbs up.
Yep.
Number whatever.
Yep.
I'm skipping the Bolsheviks match unless you want to talk
about
that.
I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, yeah.
Okay, you can.
Feel like the Bolsheviks, going back to what I was talking about, Bad News Brown a little bit earlier, he just kind of goes in there and lays it in, but there's no flourish to it, and he just kind of beats guy up and then pins him, and it's not fun to watch.
Yep.
These guys are real good at just sort of like Three Stooges style, vaudeville, goofy, big theatrical, haymaker clubbering.
Yeah.
Like, everything they're doing, they're making sure the people in the back row can see them do it. They're pulling real back for their punches. If you're headbutting somebody, they're pulling their head way back to like coming for that headbutt.
And every move takes like 10 years to connect because it's in super slow motion.
Everything registers. It all just looks like a fun cartoon. And like, I just, as far as just straight clubbering matches go, I like watching the Bolsheviks more than I like watching Bad News Brown.
Yeah.
And it really fits in for the WWF style at the time. I feel like they do WWF style well.
They do it well.
I like watching, what's his face?
Volkov.
Nikolai Volkov.
And Zukov.
Or Zukov, much more than I liked watching Volkov in there with the Iron Sheik. I think they make for a better tag team.
Right.
They mesh a little bit more. There's better chemistry.
It's just two dumb, doughy, possibly 60-year-old Russian dudes punching the shit out of each other.
One of the first things said in that match is just Brain just goes, look at the head on Zukov.
Yeah.
And immediately when Brain said it, like that was also the thought that was going through my head. I was just like, Jesus Christ, that guy's head's like fucking 25 pounds.
He looks like...
it's like a 4-foot by 4-foot square head on that guy's shoulders.
What's our guy from Gummo, the little midget in there?
He's a member of our Street People Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and then
his name escapes me right now. I'd have to bing that, but...
The black dude that was with Junkyard Dog as well. Mm-hmm. Is that Little Beaver? Mm-hmm.
Little Beaver.
That's well, you know who I'm talking about.
Betsy. Yeah, we haven't talked about those guys in a
while. Whatever kind of midgets they are.
This is where we need one of those Stan Lee, like little stars in the corner. Like, check out episode blah, blah, blah.
Check out episode blah, blah, blah. True Believer.
Talking about these two black midgets. The one who hung out with Mr. T at WrestleMania and the other one who was in Gummo.
The other one who hung out with Harmony Korine. Excited about that new movie he's making with McConaughey. That's for a later show, though. I couldn't possibly be more excited. If that's dwarf or midget, I don't want to speak out of turn. Which is which. But the ones that have like the big heads, misproportioned bodies, like big heads. So that's what Zukov looks like. It's like, is he like a he's like
huge.
6 foot whatever.
It's like if one of those guys
just has a giant head,
Pym particles, and could grow really.
He
big.
Just looks like a Uatu the Watcher, but with a beard.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, best way I could describe it.
That'll be my number five.
Okay.
Well, you won't share this one. You'll get your number five.
My last point, real quick.
Everybody's happy.
That little Don Morocco, Mean Gene interview.
Jesus Christ, what was going on there?
I just want to say, Morocco looked terrifying.
Was he turning into the abomination before our eyes?
It was terrifying.
Like, there were things moving inside of him. I saw
there
them.
There were so many veins.
His skin was deep purple.
Yeah.
A deep, deep, disturbing purple. His veins in his arms were bigger than my arms.
He started, if you ever saw that that shit show Ang Lee Hulk movie they made. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
He started to turn into that fucking blacklight poster that the Hulk fights at the end.
It was like the third act of Society when all the rich people start having that rich people orgy and their weird bodies just start pulsating and like merging together and just creating a big lump of just like human detritus. Like,
it was terrifying.
That's what
man.
Fucking
it was pure nightmare.
Don
fuel.
Morocco is on more drugs, more roids, more just horse tranquilizers at this point.
If
when
my,
this thing was filmed,
if
than
my,
anybody I've ever seen.
Like, if I was watching that with my child, I would have like covered their eyes. Yeah. I would have been like, oh god, don't look at this.
Look away. Look away, Stefan.
I don't know what naughty eyes, Stefan. I don't know what he was doing either. It was like part Hulk Hogan, part Dusty Rhodes.
A lot of poppers, I think. Yeah. Probably did some inhalants before he did it. And was just going for it.
It was cool. It's pretty cool.
This is fucking creepy, man.
Yeah. We got creepy stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk
later.
About some more male bodies. But let's take a break. I need to refill my whiskey.
I need to rethink what I'm doing with my life.
Okay. Well, we'll listen to some commercials and you'll think about it. And then we'll make no progress in our lives and instead just come back and record more podcast.
Baby Oil and Blow.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Daddy wants a drill for Father's Day,
but we better get the right one.
We better call for help.
We'd like to really be part of your family. We'd like to make Zare your store. Come along and say that Zare.
What's the best drill in the house?
We're gonna show you we care.
Do your dry cleaning too.
We'd like to make Zare your
me a go-kart.
We'd like to make Zare your store.
Zare. Make your dad happy. That's Zare.
Now it's time. It's Father's Day. Instead of shirts and ties, Daddy, I'm giving you this Carvel cake. 'Cause you're my favorite guy.
Fudgy the Whale for Father's Day. Yeah, that's a great gift.
To send a Carvel cake, call 1-800-327-GIFT. And don't forget to pick up this coupon flyer at your local Carvel dealer for savings on Fudgy the Whale and much more.
Just trying to quickly come up with some kind of dad rock Baby Oil and Blow anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of make things fitting, but nothing comes to mind that isn't written by Cat Stevens.
How about...
Just think about dad songs.
Oh, three count, hoochie-coo. Oh, three count, hoochie-coo.
Yeah, I like
come
that.
Come on, mama. Yeah. Listen to my list.
Or like, three count. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, it's a three count. Boom, boom, boom.
The dads would like.
Yeah.
And
three count. Bam.
We got to be thinking about pleasing
three
dad.
Count, bam.
We're coming up on Father's Day this weekend. It's the one time of the year. Where you gotta call your dad. You gotta probably drive to his town instead of making him drive to your town.
Yep.
You gotta drink a couple beers with him and let him talk about how miserable he is.
You don't say I love you to your dad,
really?
Do you?
Is that my, like, nobody says I love you to their dad?
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
I thought
about?
So. I was like,
is this a serious question?
I don't think I've ever said that. Like,
oh, brother.
It's implied, but... Neither one.
No, it's just like, hey, Dad, how's the steel mill? Still miserable? Yeah. How's things at home? Still sounds pretty miserable, huh? Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess we could have another beer. That's cool. All right, I'll see you next year on Father's Day.
Yeah,
Maybe that's just my experience.
I get around the old man with my brothers, you know, Teddy Bizkliz, Davy R. Shyster. Teddy Bizkliz is usually doing Teddy Bizkliz
stuff.
He's
the junior.
He's usually
Ted Jr., so I'm sure he's got to make a big to-do on Father's Day, right? He's not the one directing all the traffic?
No, he's usually complaining about how late we're...
Oh, that's surprising to me.
He's complaining about how late we're eating dinner because he's got a big hockey game to play.
That makes a lot
of
sense.
Him and Chris Jericho.
But
it's usually Davey R. Shyster and I sitting around... And,
so the younger brother, who's the accountant, is doing more to plan this shit than the older brother, who is a hockey player, are you telling me?
Yeah, he's like a reverse Happy Gilmore.
Okay. Painting a picture here.
But we hang out, you know, and we shoot a couple of lines from Seinfeld.
Oh, wow.
A couple lines from Multiplicity. The old man's happy.
I don't know if I know any quotes from Multiplicity.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
What are some of the bangers from that movie?
Well, let's see there. There's the Mambo King. What else is okay. there?
There's, in context, I bet that's hilarious.
Anything that the fourth clone says.
That's the one the where the clone one. Started yeah. getting stupider.
Yeah. Gonna eat a dolphin.
Ooh.
Hey, Lenny, we're gonna pet a dolphin.
And I tell you, that multiplicity, spoofed, maybe not spoofed, maybe ripped off to great effect. And that House of Cosby's series of internet shorts.
Oh.
Remember those from back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
When Dan Harmon and all those guys were starting yeah. to become internet presences.
Yeah.
And then Bill Cosby was like, you're not allowed to put this on the internet. Take yep. it off.
Get it off now.
Because it had all the goofy Cosby clones, and they were yeah. all like turning dumb and turning gay and stuff, and he hated it. And yep. then everybody's like, oh, Bill Cosby, you're a rapist. We don't care about you anymore. So yeah. I bet you can probably find those House of Cosbys again on the internet.
Yeah, you probably can.
We should look for those.
He's got other things to worry about.
I'd like to explore, and I'll get into stuff. Maybe I can look around, you know. Rudy? You see, Theo, each Cosby is getting worse than the last, you see.
Jesus, you're right, Cosby One.
I like to explore the house, you know. I will go around the house. I'm Curiosity Cosby, you see.
Dear God, this has to stop now.
He was a Cosby fan at heart, it's clear. He searched and found a Cosby hair. He spent 10 long years and built a cloning machine. And now he's accomplished his wonderful dream. To make a House of Cosbys, it's a House of Cosbys.
All right, it's done. I locked the basement. No more Cosbys.
Well, Theo, sometimes you just have to try your best, so.
I feel terrible. This all started because I wanted a Cosby of my own to entertain me and tell me Cosby jokes all the time.
But that wasn't enough, was it, Rudy?
No, I wanted more. I couldn't be happy with just one Cosby. I had to have two. And when I realized that Cosby 2 really wanted to help me pick up around the house, I figured maybe the next Cosbys might have some sort of specialty as well. Like, you know, doing the dishes or massage, I don't know. I should have known to stop at Cosby 7 when all he did was stand there and do nothing.
I tell you what.
Yeah, like dying in jail.
I'm failing to come up with a lot of multiplicity references right now.
I feel like if we had Davey Archer in here, he'd be killing you. Right and left.
He knows, like, there's Eugene Levy, or no, is that... Is that Eugene Levy in that one?
I gotta tell you, what year did Multiplicity come out?
Shit, 90.
I'm gonna say 97 would be my guess.
Sounds right. That was the year I was gonna go
maybe.
To. But I think that's just kind of like my go-to year when I talk yeah. about it. It's like, it's 97, 98.
That's the last time I saw Multiplicity, so I'm not really remembering it well.
Oh, you're missing out. 96. Yeah, you're missing out, man.
I probably saw it in 97 when it had its DVD release.
It's a Harold Ramis joint. You got mm-hmm. Andie MacDowell. Strong. You got Michael Keaton, of course.
Oh, yeah, he did. Andie MacDowell did do one of her very nuanced performances as yep. the henpecked wife in that movie, yep. which was essentially her entire career.
Eugene Levy, I was right.
Okay.
That's
before he became Jim's dad.
Sure.
So nobody really knew who he was.
Yeah, that's
nobody really knew who he was.
That American movie I never saw. But yeah,
all you saw was the sequels, like Bandcamp.
So that's what we'll be doing this weekend.
You guys, I gotta tell you, when I think about the three of you and your dynamic, and you're just sort of Midwestern mm-hmm. suburban upbringing, mm-hmm. I think a lot about the home improvement dynamic.
Oh,
you guys throwing around any home improvement quotes maybe on a Father's Day?
Not so many quotes as much as it comes up
just
often.
Living out plots.
And my mom loves to point out, like, those three boys, that was you three.
Oh, they really
those were
are.
You three. Ted,
spot
you know,
on.
You were the older one.
The meathead.
Who's that? That was
Brad.
Brad, yeah. You were Brad, and then Matt, you were Randy.
Smooth
and
talker.
Then, and then Dave, you're a Mark. And
the
it's
goth.
Like, it's like, I don't think you should say that to Dave. That's
so
really offensive.
The truest one.
You were the real gay kid that turned goth.
Definitely the truest one.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We do, Dave and I do drop the, would you let it go, Brad, comment.
Oh, okay,
a lot.
Yeah.
There's an episode where Brad and Randy get into it with, like, the goober neighbor kids down the way, and, like, they toast him on like the sled track or something, and like
he's just getting all buttered about
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, Brad just wants to like get back at him. He's just
full
like,
on butthurt.
He's just like, I hate those guys, and like they keep talking about him, and like he says it like several times in the episode, and then finally like the fourth time, like Tim the Tool Man Taylor just turns to Brad.
Let it go.
Yeah, he just turns to him and goes, "Will you let it go, Brad?" And sometimes like. Good. Teddy Bizcliz will get upset about something, and Dave and I will just turn to each other and say, "Will you let it go, Brad?"
I need to get more Tim Allen quotes in my repertoire. Mostly all I got's more power and then growling.
Yeah. Usually, if we're quoting Home Improvement, it's just we're quoting that Simpsons spoof of Home Improvement.
That's some good shit.
Or the, I ran over my neighbor. Looks like it's back to jail for me.
I did it! I supercharged my riding mower! Oh no, I've killed Wilson. Looks like it's back to jail for me.
It's funny because he was doing a lot of jail time.
Yeah,
there.
he was. That's all right. Other people
Last
did jail
Man
time.
Last Man Standing. Good show, I wonder. Probably.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Didn't turn it off.
All right. Tell me more.
Maria put together all the Trump propaganda and made me change the channel.
Nah, that's a shame. Yeah. First they get rid of Roseanne. Now we got live-in Mexican wives not letting us watch fucking new Tim Allen shows.
Land of the free, my ass.
Yeah. Is there nothing left for white guys in this world?
Pro wrestling.
Oh, there we go. Let's get into a little pro wrestling talk.
Yeah. So, what are we going to talk about? It's Father's Day.
In honor of all the fathers out there, we're talking about the best 80s wrestling dad bods.
Damn.
Who is out there just dad bodding it up in the ring? I'm not talking about the body guys like Lex Luger. I'm not talking about the big fat guys like a John Tenta. I'm talking about the guys who look like they're just rocking out that nice in the middle Midwestern existence where probably they got like a couple dumbbells in the garage.
Fuck yeah.
But also they drink like four or five beers when they come home from their
job
every
deal.
Night.
No
and
big
they eat
deal.
Their wife's like fucking carb heavy cooking.
Before they eat her.
I'm talking spare tires. I'm talking chunk butts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
The good stuff.
All the good stuff.
The good stuff.
The ladies like these days from, I don't know, what blogs are telling me.
I got one.
Okay, let's get into these top three dad bods of 1980s pro wrestling.
My first one.
Got a lot of visions of male bodies dancing through my head.
My first one, I wanted to pick.
Oh, I should mention, we did declare this the Arn Anderson Memorial List.
Yeah, I didn't put him
on. Of course, Arn Anderson would be number one.
Yeah.
He's everybody's dad. He's the world's greatest dad bod.
That's stupid. You're just going to have to
waste
that pick. Think
about a dad
bod,
you think about Arn Anderson.
So, right. So, we're technically picking four through two.
Mm-hmm.
Our four through two.
Mm-hmm.
So, but either way, the first up on my list, I had one guy in specific, but I kept looking at his pictures.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I'm getting a little too horny. Maybe this isn't.
Well, I was like way boned up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I can't pick this one guy when there's two other guys.
We're talking about triplets?
I'm going for not just a certain famous team, a certain era of a famous team.
Oh, wow.
And that's why my first pick
where you're going with this one.
Is to the Jimmy Garvin era Freebirds.
Strong.
All right.
Strong.
So I'm going Garvin, going Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah, Buddy Roberts is kind of a little bit more of a weird-looking old guy who like was in better shape than the young guys.
Right, and I got Terry Gordy in here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my explanation, all right?
Mm-hmm.
This is how it totally qualifies as the dad bod mold. You look at these three dudes right here.
Sure.
These are three dudes that used to play high school ball but still get together on the weekends and drink way too heavily, just drinking way too much.
They got that garage band that they've
still
been doing 20 years later.
Like they're getting together like, hey, you wives, you know,
playing
we're going to hang out.
Fog hat covers.
We're going to grill some meat, you know, we'll bring the kids, you know, like maybe a couple of their kids are like fucking around with each other. There's like a boy and a girl in there. So who knows, you know, I'm
These
not saying
the guys
so.
Who are dragging a case of beer to mush ball.
Correct. Yeah. And they're just spending the whole time talking about how cool they were. Just like still using the old jokes, rehashing the same old stories. Never gets old to them. Their wives probably can't stand them.
Mm-hmm.
But hey.
Never going to cut my hair.
They're going to go home, get on top of them, breathe heavy booze breath on them for 45 to a minute and a half.
No, thank you.
And then just call it a night. Glory days.
This is working perfectly for me because my number one was going to be Michael Hayes, so I'll just talk about it right now. Yeah, because we're talking about Michael Hayes. There's a lot of things specifically him. Yeah, you want to put Gordy out there. He's a certain type of dad.
Right.
For sure. You want to put fucking Jimmy Jam Garvin. He's definitely a certain type of dad. Jimmy and Hayes kind of both similar.
Very
to what
similar,
I'm going
yeah.
for, where they're almost in shape, but not really.
Not really, yeah.
They're barrel-chested, but they're not toned.
Shitty manscaping.
Chest hair is a must.
Yeah.
I wanted to get somebody on my list that had just
absolutely
like a welcome mat of belly hair just going on.
Yeah.
Just makes you feel at home cuddling up next to that. He's definitely got it. But another thing.
Not afraid to show it off in front of the neighbor kids.
That's what I was going
to
say is one of the most essential things when I think about dads and their bodies is just unwarranted confidence when it comes to showing off their bodies to whoever's around. And nobody fucking exemplified unwarranted confidence with their body more than Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah, not saying, is this okay? Just saying, you're welcome.
Taking cheesecake photos, and it's just like, dude, you're not in very good shape. But if you say so. So I'm right there with you on this list right there.
So I
Three birds up there.
I got a number two.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they're getting back together and they're hanging out, talking about their glory days. They had that one black dude that went to their high school.
Okay.
You know,
they're Winston.
Yeah, a little bit. He's a little shorter. He played running back on the team. But I tell you what, that body.
Great athlete.
Back at the time, he was quick as Dickens, strong as an ox. You know, it could run through like 2-3 defenders.
Sure.
But nowadays, he's looking like the rest of the group, even though he's only like...
He's still eating like he was back when he was lifting on his linebacker days.
You're
not burning as many calories, man.
He's still only about 5'8", and his name's Coco Beware.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. That boy, he's wide, but he can move.
That's right. And he's showing up, and he's wearing the same sunglasses as these other guys. So that's how you know they're friends, you know?
I was talking earlier about how there's nothing to hate about Coco Beware.
No.
You're just painting this picture of just, like, these old high school friends.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I had me some Coco Bewares to hang out with
right
now, man.
Yeah.
We'd probably be out back grilling and drinking beers right now. Maybe
like,
lighting off some quarter sticks.
They'd be like, oh, is Coco bringing his ribs? I don't know, maybe.
Fucking everybody
in the special recipe.
Like, it's only Father's Day, and they're lighting off fireworks already. This
is
ridiculous.
It's too early.
We've got work in the morning.
We've got a block ordinance. This is bullshit.
Living my suburban dream, these wrestling dads.
Coco fits right in there.
You think those ribs that Coco's bringing are macaw ribs?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Oh, Jesus. They're cheap if he's got houses burning down and all those, all that bird meat laying around.
Oh, God.
All right, I'm going to go into my number two right here. Talking about a man who's stocky, a man who's stout.
Uh-huh.
A man who looks like he could be ripped to shit, probably, if he just would be able to not drink a whole fifth of Old Granddad at the end of every night.
Oh,
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Ooh, almost put him on my list.
Man
came so damn close.
Built like a big toe.
That's almost my number
one. One thing I'm talking about is dads. Dads are powerful, but dads are still, they're weak in some ways. They've been rode hard. And Greg Valentine just gives me that wobbly knee, joints aren't holding up.
Yeah.
Like, guy can't really walk well.
What's leg day?
But I bet he could lift a boulder over his head if he needed to. You want him to walk up the driveway?
Yeah.
That's going to be rough. But you ask him to lift that boulder over his head, boom, he's going to pop it right up there.
He kind of looks like the dad in the old Louis Anderson cartoon.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing you got to think about when it comes to dads. It's just weird builds.
Yeah.
And his another one talking like Boris Zukov, just that head. That head on his shoulders, 25-pound head, just
absolutely
bigger than a bowling ball.
His core is just
everybody
insane.
And I picture him in tighty whities. Maybe that's since I've seen him in wrestling trunks so often, but I just picture him stumbling around his house, wobbly kneed in tighty whities, and him just being like
there's unexplained
a dad of one of my childhood friends.
And,
yeah,
like, uncomfortable sagging in the back of the
You go over
underwear.
To that friend's house as a little kid, and just the dad doesn't give a fuck what little kids are running around. He's in his house. You're in his house. So he's just going to be walking around in his tidy whities, and you're going to have to look at it.
Yeah.
And I picture Greg Valentine when I think of those uncomfortable, those deeply uncomfortable memories.
Maria's cousin partied at Greg the Hammer Valentine's house.
Nobody likes a bragger, Matt.
Knew his daughter.
Deb the Hammer Valentine?
Deb the Hammer.
Wow, that's impressive.
One and the same.
I would have liked to have partied with her for sure.
Yep. I got a number one.
All right, let's move it into these top picks right here.
This one breaks away from my previous two. It's its own world.
Interesting.
Because it's
dad bod subgenre.
It's just absolute dad. And because we've talked about him many a time, and I've said how much he looks like a dad that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Larry's,
my dad. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Larry Zbyszko.
Oh, there we go.
And his resemblance of Jim Belushi.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at him. He's got that thinning hair.
Very much so.
He's got the body hair. He's got like what used to be like I played sports muscles with a little bit of that beer gut. His look to me is when you're a little kid and your dad works a job and he comes home kind of late. The only world you
trying
get
to put food on the table.
Yeah, the only world you get with him is that little window from like 6 to 6:30 in the evening until whatever
before he starts passing out in his chair.
Whatever your bedtime is, you know, like 9 o'clock, maybe 8:30. So it's a real small window. But in that brief time, you're gonna have dinner with that man, and in those few fleeting hours,
he's gonna air his grievances,
and he's gonna be able to put away a six or a Stroh's.
Oh, sure,
you know,
absolutely.
That's what I get.
That's my granddad's beer right there, Stroh's.
That's what I get when I look at that man.
I gotta tell you too, you're talking about him and his resemblance to Jim Belushi.
Yeah,
you know who else he reminds me of? Him and Jim Belushi both. We got a local bar here in this town called Diamond Jim's. Owner of that bar, Diamond Jim Lertz, he reminds me of Jim Belushi and reminds me of Larry Zbyszko. Always has.
Oh, I never
He's the
thought
dad
of, that.
Of Corey and Kevin Lertz, who are also a couple of local legends.
Man.
Kevin Lertz can get a cowboy boot up on the end of a bar in half a second. Wearing tight jeans, he could pop that thing up
and
on
he,
a
like,
bar.
He weighs like what you and I do combined. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
He'll hit you with a early 90s SNL reference, and before you've even stopped laughing, he's got his fucking cowboy boot. Just bam, up on the bar.
And then he's going to hit you with a little Brittany Murphy. I'll never tell.
Well, he's got a lot of comedy bits.
What's that mean?
There's a lot of local flavor. Publicly tased, that man.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
So my favorite dad bod goes to Kevin Lertz.
Kevin Lertz.
No, Larry Zbyszko.
Oh, all right. Okay, you just bring it back around to what you were saying a little bit ago about life with Louie, that weird cartoon, and the dad.
Yep.
The dad on that. It's a whole subgenre of dad bod, as far as I'm concerned. You had those dads. Sure, no dad's going to be in great shape. But you had those dads where they're just, their limbs were too lanky and they were too tall.
Yeah.
For them to just like, you know, get doughy all over. So they just get real loose in the middle, and they just look like weird, just like Tim Burton creations or something, because you just still have these long, spindly arms
and
legs.
It's kind of what our show does, gets real loose in the middle.
There you go. And then, but still just like that round, loose belly in the middle.
Yeah.
Just like that drawing of that dad, Life with Louie, and that's one of my favorite types of dad bods, so
yeah.
I had to find a man who had that sort of dad bod so I could represent it on my thing. And I'm going with perennially out of shape.
Yep.
WWF superstar Jake the Snake Roberts.
Absolutely.
That man, those long gazelle-like legs, and then you're just like, what an athlete when you're looking him up fucking from the toes up to the head, but then you get to the midsection and you're like, oh wait, maybe not.
Oh.
Maybe not such an athlete.
Oh.
And you get back up to the shoulders and they're kind of all right, and he's just got that wingspan, but just always had that doughy middle. That doughy middle plopped right on top of those weird draft legs.
You go to like his early WWF career, and it's like, he looks pretty good.
This guy wasn't drinking so much every night.
You're like, he looks all right. A little soft in the middle.
Not a body guy, but in shape.
He's a specimen. He's something to look at, you know? And then, man, shit, by 88, where we're at now, it's already just...
You get into the 90s and he's wearing that snakeskin shirt with his tights.
Oh,
and then
he's
just really looking dad-tastic.
Yeah, where he's just kind of like wearing the same thing as fucking Cactus Jack.
Yeah, essentially.
Why didn't they just bring Mick
he's
Foley
got a
over?
Real father figure, that guy.
Send Jake over and just do a Jake and Cactus Jack.
Son of Jake Roberts. That's how you bring Mick Foley into your territory.
Man, Mick Roberts.
I would have bought it.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you, Mick the Serpent? Mick the Serpent Roberts?
I could see that, yeah.
Mick the Gecko Roberts?
Something lizardy and slithery, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Something that's there.
Earthworm
though.
Mick.
Earthworm Mick.
That's what I'm calling him. That's what I'm calling him.
Yeah, goddamn, pal.
I'll get you over.
Oh,
sorry,
God.
I couldn't go back in time and give you that one when I could have done something for you, Mr. Foley.
I'm going to tell you right now,
I'm
not going to give you the names. I almost did tonight, and then I realized, fuck it, it's just going
to
be a list for a later show.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Okay. Coming up with three count ideas.
We had wrestlers with the greatest dad bods.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing wrestlers with the greatest lesbian aunt bods.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to think long and hard about this one.
No, you won't.
Oh, jeez.
It'll come to you real fast.
All right.
You got one guy on your list who could clearly qualify.
There's a tease right there.
Yeah.
Future episode of Baby Oil and Blow.
Yeah, you want to hear it. You got to tune in, mother sucker. What do we got next week?
Next week, WCW. We're into March. We're getting into March. March 5th, 1988. We'll see what they got on deck for us as we continue to march towards the first ever Clash of the Champions.
Ooh, that sounds exciting on Baby Oil and Blow.